Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Let's talk about it.
What's good, y'all? Welcome to the Real Authentic to Grow podcast. I'm Harold, and I'm doing this podcast to help motivate and help people grow, but also to help myself grow and I do the podcast with y'all. Today's episode is special, man. This lady has a lot that I can say about her. So let's start with this. She is a social work professor and the director of social work field education at Columbia College. She joined Columbia College in spring 2021 as an adjunct within the Master of Education and Trauma-Informed Practices program and received her Bachelor's of Science in Family and Consumer Sciences with a specialization in youth issues from Winthrop University. She has 10 years of experience in training, curriculum development and implementation, community engagement and child welfare. She is passionate about helping others. I really think y'all gonna enjoy this episode. Today's topic is self-care. So with that being said, let's talk about it. Welcome back. As we mentioned earlier, today we got with us Alexis Scurry. Yes. Now let me give y'all another brief introduction real quick just to help y'all get a better understanding. Okay, so she is a licensed master social worker dedicated to promoting mental wellness and self-care in her professional and personal life. Alexis brings compassion, insight, and authenticity to every conversation. Alexis is married to her supportive husband, Embry Scurry. Am I saying that right?
Embry
Scurry. And together, they are raising two beautiful daughters, Alicia and Addie, who inspire her daily. As a lifelong learner, Alexis is passionate about personal growth, community, connection, and empowering others to prioritize their well-being. That's awesome.
That's me.
Yeah. And I did say their names, right?
Alisa.
I'm not great with names.
It's okay.
Yes, well, glad to have you today.
Thank you for
joining us. And I'm just looking forward to this because I'm trying to learn about self-care myself as we speak up. Self-care, that's what we're talking about today. But we're going to talk about a whole bunch of other stuff too because, look, we got the person to ask the question, so we're going to ask the question and we're going to get down to it, right? All right, so tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I'm originally from Aiken, South Carolina, very small town in South Carolina. Yep. I was raised by a single mother who was a social worker, and because of her history and like understanding and knowing her struggles, I was like, I don't want to be a social worker.
Yeah.
We don't make enough money. It's not fun. And God was like, girl, stop playing. You need to be a social worker.
Right.
And so I went to med school and I became a social worker. After I got my degree, I moved to Columbia because I married my husband and I worked with CASA, the Guardian Ad Litem program for Richland County, where I worked with children who were being trafficked and who had DSS involvement. And then after that, I became the manager over there for the volunteer recruitment and training individuals who wanted to be guardians ad litem to serve abused and neglected children. And now I'm at Columbia College where I teach social work courses and I am in charge of their field director, field education program.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So what made you want to be a teacher in that field?
Honestly, I did not want to be a teacher. I started out my bachelor's degree in elementary education.
Okay.
I got into the classroom and I ran out of the classroom like within 15 minutes because little kids were not it for me.
I love
children, but I don't like teaching them for 10 months at a time.
Right.
Monday through Friday, that wasn't my thing. And I found that, I guess, teaching adults is my thing. So I just opened doors. I was looking to leave CASA when I left CASA, and somebody called me and was like, hey, you want to come to Columbia College? And I was like, hey, I'll try it out. Let's see what happens. And it's been great ever since.
Yeah, he opened the doors for you. That's awesome. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So 10 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Putting this to work.
Yeah. But it's fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, before we even get into the discussion, we're going to play a little game just for the viewers to get to know you a little bit.
Yeah.
So, we have our cards, and then we're just going to have you pick a random card. We're just going to ask you the questions on them.
Okay.
Now, be mindful. These cards, I have no idea what's on them.
Okay.
So we go find out together.
All right.
Any call you want. All right. Let's see what we got for you. So you got two of hearts. So, Alexis, what inspires you?
I would say my children and knowing my place in the world and knowing that whatever God tells me to do and where he leads me is where I'm supposed to be. And so I'm inspired by watching my kids and seeing what they're capable of and then understanding what my capabilities are.
Yeah.
And then, of course, inspiration directly from God telling me to go do it. You know.
Yeah, love it. Yeah. Love it. By the way, this is called Rapid Fire.
Mm-hmm.
I meant to say that before we started, but
okay.
You're already doing good. It's just
okay.
Whenever I ask the question, you just
come on. Pops out.
Yep,
okay.
You're doing good. All right, so do you believe in luck or do you make your own luck?
I don't believe in luck at all.
Yeah.
What Jonathan McReynolds say, I'm not lucky, I'm loved.
Yeah.
I don't believe in luck. I believe that all of our steps are divinely ordered by God himself and
yeah.
There's no such a new look in my opinion.
I love it. Okay, so what outfit in your closet would get the most laughs?
That is so random. I'm trying to think what I have in my closet that would make people laugh. Okay, I think I have it. So I have, it's like a overall outfit.
Yeah.
But it's a skirt, and it's like mustard puke yellow kind of.
Oh, okay.
And I think if I wore that, people might laugh. I haven't worn it yet. I bought it, but I have not worn it.
You gotta test that theory out, guys. You gotta test
that. I'm afraid. We'll see.
I understand that. Okay, so if you were to get a tattoo, what would it be and where?
I haven't had a new tattoo in a very long time.
All right.
But if I were to get a new one, it would be of my daughter's footprints from birth on my left shoulder blade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's creative. I like that. All right, so last question. If your life was a song, what would be the song title?
I Can Make It. I can't remember. I don't remember the title of it. I Can Make It. Yes, I can. I trust in the Lord. You know what song I'm talking about?
I don't know. Hold up. You know who the artist is?
No, I can't remember. Oh, let me go to Google.
Yeah, do your thing. While you do that, I'm gonna go ahead and help you understand. So, self-care, for those of you that may not know what that means, it's about caring for yourself, you know? So, we're gonna let her speak more on that because she got more information and more wisdom when it comes to that, I believe.
Brian Poppin, I Can Make It. It is Poppin, I Can Make
Okay.
It after all.
Y'all make sure y'all check that song out. I'm glad to hear that. You did pretty good on the Rapid Fire.
Thank you.
Very nicely done. Yes. All right, so if you can just give us some insight on what do you believe self-care is.
Sure. So self-care is being intentional about taking the proactive steps that you need to take to ensure that you are okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And a lot of people think, oh, if I go get my nails done, if I go get my hair done, if I go for a drive, that's self-care. But there are different types of self-care. So, you have physical self-care, you have mental self-care, emotional self-care, spiritual self-care, financial self-care, social self-care, environmental self-care, and intellectual self-care. And sometimes people even throw in career self-care within there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to focus on more than just our mental health when it comes to self-care. We need to focus on everything, right? Just because your brain is healthy doesn't mean that you are physically healthy. So for me personally, I feel like I'm taking care of myself intentionally physically when I eat healthy foods,
mm-hmm.
right? Or mentally, I take care of myself when some things can go both ways. So mentally and spiritually, I feel like I take care of myself by only listening to gospel music.
Yeah.
I don't listen to any other genre. Emotionally, people can go to therapy for self-care. Intellectually, you can read, you can pick up a new hobby, you
mm-hmm.
can go to a conference to learn more information. environmentally. You can clean up the park, clean up your yard, do things around the house. And again, that will be environmentally and physically.
Yeah.
Socially, hanging out with friends, going out to eat, meeting up with family members, maybe once a month just to hang out. And then financially, budgeting, saving, couponing. Yeah. I used to coupon like real good back in the day.
Yeah.
And then I had kids and everything. Now we got to do these digital coupons that come on the phone.
Right.
But yes, so there are different types of self-care that you can engage in. But it's important to focus on all eight types and not just one.
Man.
Excuse me.
I did not know there was eight types. That's interesting. I need to do some homework then on what I need to work on. I think I got about five of them, but the other three I gotta definitely do my work on. So with those eight, with being not only a wife, but also a mother of two, how does that affect finding the time for your own self-care?
Baby, it's about communication with your spouse. Mm,
that's good.
So for me, I have to intentionally, and I'm telling you, every time you think of self-care, I want you to always think being intentional, taking proactive steps, because you can fall off on your self-care regimen really quick. But for me, it's about communication. I will tell my spouse, hey, listen, I'm getting tired and I need a break. Like, I just need to go to a hotel and spend one night. Like, it's not even a week, not 3 days, just I need to go to a hotel. Spend one night just by myself. Nobody saying mommy. Nobody saying I need you to fix my dinner. Can you get my juice? Because even though their dad is right there in the same room with me, or they'll be in the same room with their daddy and I'll be in the bedroom, they'll come to the bedroom. Mommy, can I have some juice? I'm like, your father is just as capable as I am.
So not interrupt on that. But I feel like my wife would say the same thing with my kid. So why do you think that is, that they tend to go towards the mom more to ask for things than the dad?
We're their safety.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're their safe spot. And not to knock the dads, but I feel like children know that they can get certain things from their mom that they can't get from their dad. So that nurturing aspect, they get that from typically their moms.
That's true.
Typically, you know, in most households, dad's a disciplinarian. I mean, I discipline my child, but when her dad says something to her, it's completely different. We could say it in the same tone, but she takes it much better from me than she does her dad.
Right.
So like I was saying, communication is important. Telling your spouse when you need help, when you need a break. And my husband, he works a pretty hands-on job. And when I say long hours, yesterday, I think it was, he was at work he left the house at 4:18 a.m. And he didn't get home until like 5:30, 6:00 p.m. He puts in hours. And he had to communicate with me, like, listen, I have a new position. They're expecting more out of me, and I really need you to help me. And so we have things on our calendars. Like, he has don't bother me time on Sundays from 1:00 to 5:00.
Yeah.
So right after church, we know if daddy wants to go outside and cut the grass for his self-care, he can go outside and cut the grass for his self-care.
Yeah.
So it's really important to make sure you communicate with your spouse, your partner, whoever you're in the house with, whoever you share that responsibility with when it comes to rearing your children, making sure you communicate with them. Tell them what you need. Tell them when you need it. Sometimes for my birthday, my husband, my sister, and my best friend will get together and they'll go in on a room. So I can go to a hotel. They'll buy me my favorite snacks. I'll get to the hotel. It'll be you on the bed.
Yeah.
It's important to have a circle. You got to have a good circle, a good support system. Sometimes I'll call my mom. Like, you really have to be intentional. I say, hey, mom, Embry and I are free this weekend. Do you want to come up and get the kids? Or come up and watch the kids? So, got to make time. Got to be intentional. Yeah. It's all about communication. All about being intentional.
Yeah. So, if y'all ain't taking notes, and this is not only for single people or married people.
Right.
It's for everybody. Mm-hmm. So, get yourself prepared if you are single. And if you're married, get to it. All right, now left but to do it. Get right.
Yeah, I'm taking notes in my head now. Don't worry, I'm gonna rewatch this a couple times. Make sure I get right. My wife be like, "You heard what she said?
Hey, remember that?" But yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that statement for sure.
Yes.
So, are there any causes that you find important in your life?
Yeah. So, honestly, a lot. One, child welfare. Trying to prevent child abuse and neglect. Trying to prevent human trafficking, as you read earlier in the bio. I used to work with children who were trafficked, and I really do believe that most of the kids who are trafficked, it's because they are looking for something that they aren't getting. Typically, it's children who have a vulnerability. And if we're being honest, every single person that we know has a vulnerability, right? There's something that gives us the push to do things that we shouldn't do simply because of that one piece of vulnerability. And traffickers are very good at finding what that one vulnerability is in children. And sometimes adults. I don't want people to think that only children are trafficked, because adults are trafficked. Older adults are trafficked. There is no discrimination between who a trafficker will pick up, recruit, etc. So that's another one of my causes that are near my heart. Assisting kinship caregivers. So individuals who are caring for their kin. If you know a grandma who's raising their grandchild, or an aunt or uncle who's raising their niece and nephew, that would be a kinship caregiver. Providing them with the support that they need in order to succeed and thrive. We always say if the caregiver isn't well, the children aren't well. So you want to make sure that the caregivers and the children are well. And that goes back to self-care too, to a certain extent. Many kinship caregivers are default parents. They didn't expect to be parents all over again at 60 or 65 or 38 after they've raised their own children. And so it's really important for them to engage in self-care too, because if you don't take care of yourself, who's going to take care of you?
Thanks.
And I always say you can't pour from an empty cup. And it's really important that as you pour out from your cup, that somebody is pouring back into your cup to help you stay full.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
So for those that may not understand what child welfare is, could you speak a little bit more on that?
Sure. It is when a child is being abused or neglected at the hands of any adult. It does not have to be a parent. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be a daycare worker. Anybody who is being physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually abused or neglected.
Yeah. Something serious. A lot of people, I feel like, don't think about that stuff because it doesn't affect them personally.
That's so true.
So definitely broaden your horizon. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Look out there. There's things out there. If you look, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. If you don't look, you can easily just be like, all right, whatever. It's not my problem. But, I mean, it's a world problem. And I feel like we all should be trying to fix the world because it's pretty broken.
Yes. And one really good documentary to watch is the one on Netflix on Gabriel Fernandez. Mm-hmm. There's a story based on his life about how he was abused and neglected by his mom and her boyfriend, I believe. I want to say they were in either LA or New York. I know it was a major city, but their child welfare system kept saying that he's fine. Like, they would do check-ins and they believed everything was okay. But at the end of the day, he was not okay, and he ended up passing. Like, he died at the hands of his mom and her boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's a very severe case, but it's because people were ignoring the signs. Yeah. So if you see something, say something. Whether it's human trafficking, whether you see a child getting beat on and it seems like it's excessive, say something. Speak up. Because you never know. You could be saving that child's life at the end of the day.
Thanks.
And as a result of Gabriel Fernandez's case, the DSS or caseworkers that were working on his case, they were incarcerated too, because they had so many calls and they weren't doing their job to make sure that he was safe and protected. Got to take care of our babies.
Yeah, got to. That's wild. So, for those that may be dealing with that, that work in that type of environment, just be mindful that the parents or whoever their guardian is isn't the only ones that can be held liable. You can too. So, do what you can now to help if you see something.
you may not have known before, but now you know what signs to look for, at least. Well, what signs would you say you should look for in a case like that?
So for abuse and abusive cases like physical abuse, bruises, marks, unexplainable, like marks and welts on the person or on the child, and if the child has a like frightened or scared demeanor about themselves when they approach a certain individual or a parent, or if you witness a child being hugged or touched inappropriately at a family reunion, like or family gathering, say something. Those are the things that you can look for. And for trafficking, typically you see potentially grades going down. They may dress differently, act differently, be more closed off, isolated, talking to one person. They may have two phones. And of course, this list isn't exclusive to trafficking victims or children who were being abused for the earlier statements that I made. Because there was one situation that we had where the child's grades were actually going up when she was being trafficked, because her trafficker made sure she was doing her homework, because he didn't want people to think something was going on when there was something really going on.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, those are some things I need to look at too, I guess. Well, because I work at a middle school for a part-time job, so I definitely try to be mindful about it. Because sometimes, I guess you can get in the mindset and be like, well, I don't want to do too much, or I don't want to look too much into it, and then they get in more trouble. And I have dealt with that before too, and I'm like, I don't really want him to get in trouble more, or her to get in trouble more if I say something, because sometimes the child can be scared to say something for themselves.
Right.
And it's like, how do you even work with that?
So what you do is ask the child, because again, at the end of the day, if you're working in the school, you're a mandated reporter.
Right.
So you are required to report abuse and neglect if you see it. And it's not abuse and neglect if you see it in South Carolina. It's if you have suspicions. So if you think something is going on, you are supposed to report it. Simply suspicions.
Right.
You don't have to have confirmation, because DSS will reach out to the family and do their own investigation to determine if something's going on. Okay. And of course, as always, you can make a report anonymously, so nobody will know it was you.
Right. Okay. So for those that may have a fear of that happening to the kid, just know that, like she said, it can be anonymous, so they don't have to know it's you, but at least you're trying to look out for the kid, which also shows that you care
for
the kid. So just be mindful of that.
Now, it's time for the word of the day. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What this is basically saying is, hey, you can find that peace that you've been searching for all your life if you go to the God of peace. He takes away your pain. He takes away your worries. He takes away your burdens. He makes you feel lighter. You feel freedom from all that you've been holding in. So don't try to do everything on your own. Just go to the God of peace for peace. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share to others that can benefit from this.
Women out there that may feel like, or men, women or men out there, you know, we live in the go, go, go society.
Yes, Lord.
So how do you find that time to yourself? Like, even if you have a spouse or even without a spouse, how do you find that time for yourself when you feel like you got to keep doing something to feel like you're making an impact or that you're making a difference? How does that work? Do you feel?
Remember that you cannot continue to go, go, go unless you want to have a stroke or a heart attack.
That's good.
Period. And also, you have to be intentional by blocking off time periods for yourself. Right? So, like you said, we always go, go, go. If I look at my phone, like today alone, I was go, go, go. I maybe had an hour to myself, or had 30 minutes here and 30 minutes there. But you have to be intentional. Block off time. And most importantly, say no. Say no. A lot of people don't know how to say no. I didn't learn how to say no probably until I was 33. And I don't know what happened during my pregnancy with my youngest child, but she gave me some some bravery.
Yeah.
I would say no if I didn't want to do it. No.
Yeah.
Why not? I don't owe you an explanation. I just don't want to do it. No is a complete sentence.
Right.
No, I'm not doing it.
Right.
And I was talking to my good friend today, Miss Charlene, and we were talking, having a conversation. I'm not even sure how we started talking about self-care, but she said that she witnessed her mom as she was getting older. When her mom was younger, she was a utility. People could use her and use her and use her and use her. You need somebody to talk to, call her mom. You need some food, call her mom. You need somebody to help, call her mom. You need a willing worker, call her mom. Mm-hmm. But as her mom grew older and she wasn't able to be used as a utility anymore, those people who used to call, and ask, and take, they stopped calling to check to see how she was doing, right? And so we have to also understand that it's okay to pull back. It's okay to say no. Because if you say no, they can find somebody else that can say yes. You don't have to do everything for everybody because you can't be everything to everybody. And you will die trying, right? And so, yes, I used to be a people pleaser. Praise the Lord. I have been released from that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. But like I was saying, people will use you. And so they can't use you anymore. And you have to know and understand that. It's a very ugly reality that when you're in situations where you need help after you've helped other people so much that they don't come back and help you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And also, we got to remember, even God rested. On the seventh day, homeboy said, I'm taking the rest. We got to do the same thing. We cannot continue to go. We cannot continue to push. We need to be like God and rest when we need to rest.
Mm-hmm.
When we feel like our work is complete, even if you feel like you need to take a break, your work is not be complete. Take a break, but rest.
Right.
Yes.
Now, on the Sabbath day, right?
Mm-hmm.
On
the Sabbath.
Yep. So, take that time to yourself. I read something earlier. It was saying every yes that you say to something or someone, you're saying no to yourself and doing something that you may want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So just be mindful of the stuff you're saying yes to and make sure you got time for yourself and
right.
things you want to do. Because at the same time, they not living your life for you.
Mm-hmm.
You live your life for you. And you ain't got to live your life for them either. At the end of the day, everybody has their own life and they need to live their life for themselves. But be selfless as well.
Yes. So some forms of self-care, like for spiritual, for me, I enjoy teaching little kids in children's church one Sunday at the month. That's it.
Right.
So for me, self-care is being in the classroom with those kids and teaching them. Like, even though I said yes to that, I also set a boundary to that.
Mm.
I told them I will only teach on first Sunday.
Yeah.
Because on second, third, and fourth Sunday, I'm singing on a praise team.
Oh, yeah.
But even if I wasn't, one Sunday a month. And then y'all got to find other people to do other Sundays. And so, again, rest and set boundaries and say no. You got to.
Okay. I really like that. So say you say yes to something, just make sure you set boundaries as well so they won't overuse it.
That's right, because baby, they will use and abuse you if they can.
Yep. That's people for you. Man, that's good. That's good right there. So, I know that as you said, you work at the school and it's the university, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Columbia College.
Right. So, with that, you said that you also make curriculums.
So, I do...
Curriculum development.
Yes, to a certain extent, yeah.
So, how does that work in the university you work at?
So, typically what happens is you will either be given a class to create or you can create your own class. And what you have to do, like for social work, we have to make sure that it is within the guidelines of the Council on Social Work Education and within social work ethics. So we'll make sure that they align, then you create like learning outcomes for the students. And then from those learning outcomes, you'll create assignments and find textbooks and resources and things of that nature to create the class. But always making sure it's something that the students want, students need, and that there's a sound rationale as to why you're doing what you're doing. Because
right.
you don't want to have a class with zero kids in it after you've taken all this time to create it.
Right. That makes sense. Makes sense. Like that. So how was that process for you? So if you was to do a timeline of how you got in the career you're in, what would you say your timeline looked like for someone that may want that same timeline or something similar to it?
I'm going to tell you, you don't want the timeline that I had because it was not an expected timeline. Mm. Like I said, I never expected to be in higher ed. I never expected to have a title professor. God just opened doors for me. But if you are interested in working in higher ed, I would say go ahead and get your bachelor's degree. Go ahead and get your master's degree. And because of the world that we live in and the society that exists, if you are a brown person and you want to go into higher ed, it would probably be best if you got a doctorate degree. Mm-hmm. To, and I really hate to say this, prove yourself. Because in 2025, I feel like black people and brown people should not have to prove themselves. But we do.
Yeah.
So get your doctorate. While you're working on your master's, I would have great relationships with your professors. Because if they find a job or see something that you are interested in, they may say, hey, such and such has a position as an adjunct over here. Why don't you apply for that position? Or, hey, I saw this job and I think you'd be really good at it. It's a field director for a social work program. Apply for it. Also, make sure you do research, whether that's with a professor or independently, and also make sure you apply to attend conferences and speak at those conferences. Mm. Pretty much every conference that I've ever been to has student speakers. And so that's another place where you can not only grow professionally through professional development opportunities, but you can also meet other coworkers and colleagues and form that support system or that network that you'll need.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, thank you for giving them that information. So hopefully that can be helpful for those that may be looking for that career path. Mm-hmm. For sure. So now I'm going to go to Free the Mind.
Okay.
So this is just questions from viewers.
Okay.
And then we just want to get your insight on it.
Sure.
All right. So question number one. Mm-hmm. What was it that changed your mindset on self-care to take it more seriously?
I would say when I realized that I didn't want to be touched by my kids. Like, I don't touch me, don't bother me.
Right.
I would say that shifted my mindset because, like, before I was a mom, I feel like I didn't have to focus on prioritizing self-care as much as I do now. But they're always on me. They're always close to me, typically. Always asking for something, right? And it's not, like I said, it's not that I don't love my kids. I love my babies. But sometimes I need space. And I know that about myself.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. So when I realized, like, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be touched. And another thing, I get an attitude when I need self-care. Like, I can be a little snappy.
Mm.
And so when I feel myself getting to that place, I say, hey, I need a break. I'm going to just go downtown, get my nails done, and go to Pearls and have some oysters, and then I'll be back. When I come back, everything's fine. So, yes, that's what shifted my mindset. But when I say before kids, self-care, I didn't. I was fine. I worked full-time. Got my math, worked on my master's at the same time, and was in my field placement all in the same time period, and planning a wedding. All of those things from August 2016 to May 2017.
Yeah.
Literally, all of it. And I was fine. But as soon as those kids came around,
man,
it was a change. Yeah.
You go get it. Still go get it.
I'm trying. I'm going back to school to get my doctorate.
Okay.
Yeah. So gotta prove myself out here in this world even more, even with the experience.
Well, you seem like you're on the right path.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
You're doing it.
Thank you.
So, on speaking on the attitude part of it, so for the husbands out there that may have not know about the self-care part that their wives may need, what would you recommend to them on how to ease the stress levels in the house?
Yes.
The tension.
I would say listen.
Listen
to what your wife or your spouse is saying. listen, and maybe even jot down some notes about what they're saying. That would be one good thing. When you see a shift in the attitude, it may be that time of the month, or it could be that they need to go engage in some self-care.
Yeah.
Say, hey, babe, I'll watch Anaya today.
Yeah.
Just go do whatever you want to do for the next 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Chanel would be like, what?
Right, for sure.
What? See? I'm telling y'all, it is the little things.
Yeah.
Literally. So listen, just randomly would be like, hey, babe, everything okay? You want me to watch the kids for a few hours while you go do something that you want to do? Maybe even sneak, pick up $50.
Right.
Something.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So I think that's the unexpected always helps. And then if you have children, just take the kids and go to your mom's house or something.
Right. Give them that space. I like that.
You can say, we can stay at the house or we can leave the house. Which one do you want? Like, go to the park, go get ice cream. Out the way.
Yeah.
And mama may sleep. Mama may cook. Mama may clean. Mama may do, she'll be doing something.
Right.
Mama may go get her nails done. You never know.
Yeah.
But we always doing something.
Right.
Always doing something.
That's some good information right there. Yeah, I'm going to take that home with me. She gonna be texting you. Thank you, girl. Thank you. Yeah, new man. All right. So the second question: what are your short-term and long-term goals, and how do you plan to grow in that?
So, right now, my long-term goal is to complete my doctorate, and I guess one of my short-term goals that I've been working on is being a little less snappy when I need my self-care. Yes, and so I check myself, and I know, I'm like, all right, sometimes when I go, Mommy, why are you talking mean to me? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk mean to you, unless I'm speaking in a tone because you did something she had no business, because that happens too.
Yeah.
But yes, I would say those are my two, my short-term and long-term goals for right now.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. Okay, so question number three. In what ways do you prioritize your mental health, and how has that impacted your overall growth and productivity?
So I would say that I prioritize my mental health by making sure I do like mental check-ins with myself. Like, hey, you seem to be a little sad today. What's going on? And my grandma always said, it's okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't answer back. And so I would like just dialogue with myself in my head. Like, if I feel a little tearful, like, why am I tearful today? I look at the calendar, like, make sure it's nobody's death anniversary or nothing is going on, or, like, where we at on the calendar? Is it that time? Is it about to be that time? Is that why you're sad? Right. So just doing those check-ins with yourself and making sure that you have your own internal barometer where you're checking in with yourself. Like, if something feels off, whether it's mentally or physically, check in. Like, all right, what did I eat? What did I do? What's going on? Why am I feeling this way? And kind of, to a certain extent, diagnose yourself. But if it comes to a point where you need to go see somebody about your mental health, go to a therapist. It is important. Yes, we have the Lord. We have prayer. But the Lord also put therapists and other people on this planet to help us get through certain mental health situations.
Yeah.
Okay? So, one of my friends gave me a sticker. It said, give us now our daily meds. I do not take medicine for my mental health. But I love the sticker. And so she gave me some. Because sometimes you need medicine. Sometimes you need therapy. You always need prayer. You always need God. You always need a good support system. But sometimes you need to operate in other spaces that are more on the medical side.
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
Yes.
That's good. So question number four. How do I stay disciplined in areas where motivation fades?
I go to the Bible and I find different Bible verses. I'll say I need a Bible verse for motivation. and then I'll write them down. Yeah. And other things that I do to make sure that I'm disciplined and I'm on task, I'll put things in my calendar, and I'll also put it down on my to-do list. Mm. If I have it on my to-do list, it's going to get done. If I have it on my calendar, it typically gets done. Sometimes I have to stretch out the date as to when it's supposed to happen.
Right.
And then, like I said, going to my Bible, just, hey, I'm feeling lazy today. Give me a Bible verse on motivation.
Yeah.
And I'll find something.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, there was a quote that I heard a while back. It said, motivation will get you going, but discipline will keep you going. Mm-hmm. So,
definitely. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's true. It was a good one. I'm surprised I remembered it, but yeah, that's why I remembered it, because it's a good one. So, just remember, motivation will get you going for that moment, but eventually you're going to be like, all right, why am I doing this? So, discipline's keep you going. So keep doing it continuously, even if you're like, well, today I'm not feeling it. But in the long run, hopefully you'll see why it made an impact on your life.
And also thinking about that, the goal, like, why are you doing what you're doing?
Exactly.
Like, for me, I'm going to get my doctorate so that I can remain in higher ed and doors can open up for me to do other things within higher ed outside of just teaching. So when I see the long-term goal and where it can take me, that's also another thing that keeps me disciplined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Love it. Love it. That was all the questions for our viewers for the day.
Okay.
Thank you for that insightful information.
No problem.
Is there anything that you would like to speak on before we wrap it up?
I would just say, remember to be intentional about your self-care. Remember to put yourself first. Remember to have someone pour into your cup, because you cannot pour from an empty cup. Communicate with your spouse, your partner, and take a break and rest when you need to. Because you don't want your body to rest without you doing it yourself.
Right.
You don't want to get sick. Like right now, I'm battling shingles.
Yeah.
Because I just go. And I thought shingles was only for old people. No. It's not. I had chicken pox as a kid, so I already had the virus in my body. But.
Yeah.
So, take care of yourself. Say no. And rest. So you don't have shingles like me.
You heard. Some good advice. Thank you for coming on and just giving us some wisdom and guidance on how we should go about life and how to find that self-care for yourself. This is really important. So, pray y'all have a blessed week. And I hope y'all can join us the next time on the Real Authentic Podcast. Don't forget, don't make excuses. Work through it. With that being said, we out.
Peace.
Real talk.